Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, April 6, 2020. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks gain as the White House sees signs of the COVID-19 outbreak stabilizing.
Infections in Italy and Spain also slow, stoking hopes of a plateau in Europe.
Global fatalities approach 70,000 as infections near 1.3 million.
As New York City turned the corner in the fight against the coronavirus, plus Joe Biden likes the idea of a virtual Democratic National Convention. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshaw in sports. NFL Hall of Famer Bobby Mitchell has passed away, and so has, from coronavirus, record-setting kicker Tom Dempsey.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Amy Morris. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
And U.S. futures are climbing to start the week. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 96 points, Dow futures up 802, NASDAQ futures up 314. The DAX in Germany is up 3.7%, the CAC in Paris up 3.25%, and the FTSE 100 up 1.7%. The Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 4.25%. 10-year Treasury down 17 32nds, yield 0.64%, the yield on the 2-year 0.25%. NYMEX crude oil down 2.5% or 72 cents at $27.61 a barrel. COMEX gold up 1.4% or $23.30 at $16.69.80 an ounce. The euro 1.0795 against the dollar. The yen is at 109.23. Amy.
Karen, the White House sees signs of the COVID-19 outbreak stabilizing. President Trump points to a reduction of daily fatalities in New York as a sign the spread could be leveling off.
Some very good things are happening. In New York, the first time where the deaths were less from the previous day, that's the first drop so far. So maybe that's a good sign. It could be. And the hospital levels are starting to perhaps decrease.
New York State reported 594 deaths yesterday, a reduction of 36 from the day before. Infections in the state now number 123,000.
And we hope we're seeing a leveling off in the hottest spots of them all. So we'll see. You'll be seeing that over the next few days. Let's see what happens.
Vice President Mike Pence also notes signs of progress, saying he sees cases, deaths, and hospitalizations starting to stabilize.
At the same time, though, it's expected to be a grim week for fatalities. White House health official Deborah Birx says projections show a surge in New York, Detroit, and Louisiana.
Healthdata.org, they're predicting in those three hot spots, all of them hitting together in the next 6 to 7 days.
Michigan has the third most infections after New York and New Jersey. California is fourth and Louisiana is fifth. Deaths in the U.S. are poised to eclipse 10,000 as soon as today.
We're very hopeful that over the next week, although we'll see rising number of cases of people who lose their lives to this illness, we're also hopeful to see a stabilization of cases across these large metro areas where the outbreak began several weeks ago.
Overall, Birx says projections call for about 100,000 total deaths across the country.
Deaths worldwide, meantime, are nearing 70,000. Let's get the latest numbers now live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Amy. Confirmed COVID-19 cases worldwide are almost 1.3 million. The U.S. leads the way with more than 330,000 infections. Projections for total fatalities in America reach as high as 240,000, though social distancing measures are lowering projections in some forecasts. And that has billionaire philanthropist Bill Gates calling for a nationwide lockdown. He appeared on Fox News Sunday, heard right here on Bloomberg Radio.
If we do the social distancing properly, we should be able to get out of this with a death number well short of that. It's very important that those numbers are out there because a lot of people are still thinking, hey, isn't life normal? Not waking up every day to a completely new reality.
Gates believes lockdowns in all 50 states could result in a death toll short of the 100,000. So far, at least 38 states and Washington, D.C. have issued stay-at-home orders. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Meantime, in Europe, Italy and Spain remain hot spots for the virus, though new numbers show the outbreak starting to stabilize. Here with the very latest is Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo reporting from Brussels.
When you look at the number of people who need intensive care, the number of people who have unfortunately died, the number of new cases on a daily basis, all of those have declined. So it really does point that the worst for Italy is over at this stage. When you look at the situation in Spain, which is the other big focus point, the number of deaths did decline over the weekend, but not so the number of people needing intensive care. That data does show that there is a little bit of a lag compared to Italy. Now, the next stage here in this debate is when are we going to see these countries open up for business? The Italian Prime Minister yesterday said that he could not actually commit to a deadline, so this is not enough yet to return to normal business.
Italy and Spain have the most fatalities worldwide. Combined deaths in those countries number more than 28,000.
In the UK, Prime Minister Boris Johnson has been hospitalized with COVID-19. It comes as Britain prepares for the worst of the outbreak. Let's get more from Bloomberg opinion columnist Therese Raphael.
For now, Downing Street is suggesting this is completely precautionary and the Prime Minister is still in control, still in touch with his cabinet colleagues. And yet this does raise some questions about what happens if his condition worsens, if he's really unable to run things.
So far, about 5,000 people in the UK have died from the virus.
As we approach a global peak for the pandemic, stocks are rising around the world. We saw broad-based gains in Asia overnight. For details, we're joined by Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. Japan's Nikkei 225 index climbed 4.3% in Tokyo as the yen dropped. Prime Minister Abe is set to declare a state of emergency in the nation. In Seoul, the Kospi was up close to 4%. And here in Singapore, the market rose as the government unveiled a third coronavirus stimulus package, pledging more cash handouts. Hong Kong stocks also advanced while several markets in the region were closed for a holiday, including those in mainland China and India. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what's going on in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is warning that hospitals facing potentially the worst week in the coronavirus crisis still need ventilators as more doctors and nurses head to the region.
291 medical personnel from our military dedicated specifically to our public hospital system, arriving now in New York City. That's 174 nurses, 104 doctors, 13 respiratory therapists. That's a very good start.
President Trump is expressing optimism in the fight against coronavirus in New York. For the first time in the state Sunday, there were less deaths than the previous day. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said he was encouraged by the data, but that it is too early to tell if the state has turned a corner. The number of cases has now topped 122,000 in New York. Many people are asking how a tiger in New York City could get a COVID-19 test when it's still hard for so many people. The Wildlife Conservation Society said in a statement, a tiger at the Bronx Zoo is tested positive for the coronavirus. Dr. Paul Kelly, the Bronx Zoo's chief veterinarian, says the COVID-19 testing that was performed on the 4-year-old female tiger was in a veterinary school lab and is not the same test used for people.
We were surprised, of course, because this is the first time a person has naturally infected an animal and an animal has gotten sick.
Three other tigers and three other lions also tested positive for the virus, but all are expected to recover. Former Vice President and Democratic presidential frontrunner Joe Biden says the COVID-19 pandemic may change how the Democratic Party holds this summer's nominating convention. On ABC's This Week, Biden said the Democratic National Convention, set to take place in Milwaukee, may have to move online.
We have to do a virtual convention. I think we should be thinking about that right now. The idea of holding a convention is going to be necessary, but we may not be able to put 10, 20, 30,000 people in one place, and that's very possible.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Amy?
All right, thank you, Michael. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, thanks, Amy. The sports world has had plenty of coronavirus cases and now a fatality. Tom Dempsey was an NFL kicker. He was 73. He was known for a record-setting field goal made in New Orleans in 1970.
Tom Dempsey will try to kick the longest field goal in National League history. They're setting it on with 2 seconds left. Scarpetti will hold. Here's a snap. The ball is down. Dempsey kicks. It's on the way.
Yarder stood alone as the longest field goal in NFL history for 28 years. It has since been surpassed. But Dempsey was quite a story. Born without fingers on his right hand, without toes on his right foot, he used a special shoe to kick straight on. Hall of Famer Bobby Mitchell has also passed away. He was 84. Played running back in Cleveland with Jim Brown, then traded to Washington. Played wide receiver, became the Redskins' first African-American player. Three PGA majors have been postponed, all hoping to be played later in the year, and the U.S. Women's Open has a date. They'll play mid-December in Houston. They aired WrestleMania last night. Drew McIntyre beat Brock Lesnar, which means that when Iona plays Minnesota next season of basketball, the game will be in New Rochelle. Hall of Famer Rick Pitino, new coach of the Gales, made a wager with his son, who coaches the Gophers, that whoever won the wrestling would determine who would host the game. Worth noting, not only are wrestling outcomes predetermined, it was shown last night on tape. The match actually took place several days ago. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Amy.
All right, thank you, John. Other sports news. You may one day see electric flying cars compete in Formula One-style races. London's Telegraph reports an Australian company is helping develop electrical vertical takeoff and landing vehicles. Paper says if the technology enters widespread use, the sector could be worth $1.5 trillion by 2035. Futures all pointing higher. S&P up 3.6%. Dow futures up 3.5%. NASDAQ futures up almost 4%. Much more still to come on Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg. It's 5:11 on Wall Street. Coming up on Bloomberg Daybreak, we'll talk with economist Dennis Gartman, formerly of the Gartman Letter, about market volatility and White House optimism. S&P futures are higher. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on QuickTake by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are jumping in Europe and Asia alongside U.S. stock index futures after the reported death tolls in some of the world's coronavirus hotspots show signs of easing over the weekend. The dollar's edging higher. Treasuries are falling. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 91 points, Dow futures up 762, NASDAQ futures up 298. The DAX in Germany is up 3.7%. 10-year Treasury down 20, 30 seconds, yield 0.65%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.25%. NYMEX crude oil down about 2.8%, down 78 cents at $27.56 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 1.25% or $20.60 at $16.66.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.0801 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2307. The yen's at 109.23, and the VIX at 44.47. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Are we beginning to see a glimmer of hope in the fight against the coronavirus? Bloomberg's John Tucker has more in this live report.
Michael, the daily death toll for the novel coronavirus declined in some global hotspots, and President Trump said he sees signs the U.S. outbreak is beginning to level off. New York State reported 594 new coronavirus deaths on Sunday. That's a reduction of 36 from Saturday. Governor Andrew Cuomo said in a daily briefing that the data may show the state is reaching a plateau or could be just a blip. Well, the U.S. military also will deploy 1,000 Air Force and Navy medical staff to New York City in the next 3 days. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you very much, John. Britain assumed the unwelcome mantle of the deadliest coronavirus hotspot in Europe after a record 24-hour jump in deaths that surpassed even hard-hit Italy's. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson was hospitalized yesterday, 10 days after testing positive for COVID-19, what his office described as a precautionary step. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. And it is 5:20 now on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. President Trump, Vice President Pence say they see signs of the coronavirus outbreak stabilizing. We are joined now by Dennis Gartman, the economist, formerly of the Gartman Letter. Dennis, it's always a pleasure. I want to thank you for taking the time with us this morning. We are seeing stocks higher today because of that optimism that we've been talking about this morning coming out of the White House. What is your reaction to the move in the markets, and is that going to last?
Well, I doubt that it shall last very long. There's no markets have a tendency to rebound 50% of what they have lost in bear markets, and bear market rallies tend to be very dangerous and very swift, very volatile. The fact that we have the Dow trading at Dow futures at 21,700 right now, 21,700. Can we get to 24,000 in the next week or two on a technical bounce? Of course we can, but are we likely to see new highs in the near future? No, we're not. I think this is a dead cat bounce, one that can be played from the long side, and I think that last week's lows, if you're going to be a buyer, you put your stop orders in at last week's lows. But shall this last for more than a week or two? I doubt it. One of the problems that we have incumbent in the stock market is the great buyer. The companies themselves who have been buying their own shares for years and years have basically been precluded from buying their shares back for years and years into the future. So the great buyer is gone. But is this a good bounce? Yes. Can it be traded from the long side? Yes. Should you trade it from the long side? I doubt it. And if you wish to be long of stocks, better to be short of the bond market. That's probably the better correlative trade.
So oil did give up some of last week's rally. It does look like it is starting to pare back some of those losses. Crude is lower. But what do you think of oil prices turning the corner?
I doubt that oil prices have turned the corner also. But again, just like the stock market, a good bounce was required. A good bounce had been had. And watch the, without getting too esoteric, watch the term structure, the shifting nature, the front month versus the second, third, and fourth month back. Beginning early last week when crude oil was on its in the dinger on the downside, the term structure began to narrow, which was the first bullish sign. Here we have the market having rallied from, 1990 in nearby WTI to $29 per barrel, which is a huge bounce if you think about it. Today the term structure is actually turning somewhat bearish. So I think the rally in the crude oil market has probably run its course. And if you're going to trade crude oil, trade from the short side. Now, I trade only for my own account, my retirement account. I'm in the market every day. I don't have any crude oil position on right now, but if you made me do something, I'd be short of it.
The president has said that he doesn't think he's going to have to impose the tariffs on any imported oil, but he's also holding that option in reserve. What would that do?
Well, that would clearly tighten up the WTI Brent spread. You'd probably take WTI to a premium over Brent. I think it would be an illogical and very bad decision on the president's part. Any talk of any tariffs in any instance is going to be deleterious to whatever to the stock market, ostensibly, to the crude oil market dramatically. But it'd be beneficial to WTI. So if you're a believer in putting those tariffs on, probably the trade you want to put on is long WTI and short Brent. But am I going to do that in my own account? Not with your money.
Well, bonds are the haven of choice for a lot of people. Are they getting too expensive now?
Oh, bonds are way too expensive. I see no reason why anybody would want for the long term to own 10-year treasuries with a 65 basis point handle. So, I trade only for my own account. And on Friday, I actually went short modestly, marginally, small, tiny for the first time in a long time. But I'm actually short a little bit of the long end. And my propensity is to add to it because I do think if we get a good technical bounce, a good dead cat bounce in the stock market, you'll get a correlative decline in the long end of the yield curve. So I'm short of the bond market for my own account and thinking of adding to that position this morning. I just can't imagine anybody wants to own for 10 years a treasury security that has a 65 basis point coupon.
Got about a half a minute left here, Dennis, but I do need to get your thoughts on gold.
I'm very long of gold, have been for a long period of time, and I wish to continue to own gold, not only for the geopolitical circumstances, but because the monetary authorities everywhere, whether it's Japan, Canada, England, the United States, Russia, China, are all taking expansionary monetary policies and have no choice but to do so. So that's going to be very beneficial to the bond market or to the gold market. That's my largest position. I'm long gold in euro terms. I'd rather own gold in terms of currencies that I think are going to continue to weaken. So I'm very bullish of gold. In dollar terms, I'm even more bullish of gold in euro terms.
Economist Dennis Gartman, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time with us today. Dennis Gartman, formerly of the Gartman Letter. I want to thank you for joining us. We are checking futures markets now. S&P futures are higher, 3.7% higher. Dow futures higher, 3.7% higher as well. NASDAQ futures up more than 4% now, so we are watching that. Comrex Gold, 1,666 per ounce. Euro at 108 against the dollar. British pound, 123 against the dollar. Yen at 109.22. This is Bloomberg. Much more coming up on Bloomberg Daybreak. We're going to keep watching the latest data from coronavirus hotspots. We'll also be checking the latest world and national news. That is just ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are gaining as the White House sees signs of the COVID-19 outbreak stabilizing. President Trump points to a reduction of daily fatalities in New York as a sign the spread could be leveling off.
Some very good things are happening in New York. The first time where the deaths were less from the previous day. That's the first drop so far. So maybe that's a good sign. It could be. And the hospital levels are starting to perhaps decrease.
At the same time, though, it is expected to be a grim week for fatalities. White House health official Deborah Birx says projections show a surge in New York, Detroit, and Louisiana.
Healthdata.org, they're predicting in those three hotspots, all of them hitting together in the next 6 to 7 days.
Deaths in the U.S. are poised to eclipse 10,000 as soon as today. And for the latest, we're joined live by Bloomberg's John Tucker. John, good morning.
And Karen, there are more than 330,000 coronavirus cases in the U.S. New York State has the most infections and deaths, though fatalities appear to be stabilizing. The state reported 594 deaths yesterday. That's a reduction of 36 from the prior day. Worldwide, there are 1.3 million cases of COVID-19. In Europe, deaths in Italy and Spain are falling. Italy reported its lowest fatalities in 2.5 weeks, while Spain saw a decline for the third straight day. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, John. In the UK, Prime Minister Boris Johnson has been hospitalized with COVID-19. It comes as Britain prepares for the worst of the outbreak, which is projected in 7 to 10 days' time.
Oil lower this morning, though off its worst levels of the session. There are signs that Russia and Saudi Arabia are making progress on a deal to curb output. Diplomats say there's been some movement over the weekend. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil is down 2.9% on 83 cents at $27.51 a barrel. Brent is down 3.2%. It's at $33.01. S&P futures are on the rise this morning, up about 97 points. Dow futures up 810. NASDAQ futures up 308. The DAX in Germany is up 4%. The 10-year Treasury down 22 32nds, yield 0.66%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.26%. COMEX gold is up 1.4% of $22.50 at $16.68.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0799 against the dollar. The British pound at 1.2305, and the yen 109.20. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
It is 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what's going on in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says it is too soon to say whether the pandemic has reached its apex and urged New Yorkers to remain vigilant. Meanwhile, hundreds of military and medical personnel are being deployed in New York City, but Mayor Bill de Blasio warns that hospitals facing the potentially worst week in the coronavirus crisis still need more ventilators.
It doesn't end here. I'm going to go back to the president, to FEMA, to Department of Defense, and let them know we need a lot more help for our public hospitals as they continue to bear the brunt.
The Wildlife Conservation Society says a tiger at the Bronx Zoo has tested positive for the coronavirus. Dr. Paul Calle, the Bronx Zoo's chief veterinarian, says the COVID-19 testing that was performed on the four-year-old female tiger was performed in a veterinary school, in a lab, and not the same test that is used for people.
She got sick, and the later other tigers and lions got sick.
The zoo says the tigers were infected by a person caring for them. California's Riverside County has issued a new order in the fight against COVID-19. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Just days after recommending that people wear masks to prevent the spread of the coronavirus, Riverside now has gone a step further and has ordered all residents to cover their faces when leaving home as the number of infections and deaths continue to rise across California. Riverside is the state's fourth largest county, and the health director says not everybody's getting the message about social distancing while in public. So officials were forced to change from saying that you should to saying that you must. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Former Vice President and Democratic presidential frontrunner Joe Biden says there should be changes to this year's Democratic convention due to the coronavirus. Biden on ABC's This Week.
We're going to have to do a convention, may have to do a virtual convention. I think we should be thinking about that right now.
The Democratic National Committee has already postponed the convention from July to August. By the way, ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is 5:35 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right. Thanks, Amy. Two former NFL players have passed away. Hall of Famer Bobby Mitchell was 84, played with Cleveland and Washington. And Tom Dempsey was 73. He died of coronavirus. He was living in a senior residence in New Orleans. That's where Dempsey became famous. In 1970, Dempsey, who was born without toes on the right foot that he kicked with, booted a game-winning 63-yard field goal. It was an NFL record that was not broken for 43 years. The Rangers are investigating an ugly incident. They just signed 20-year-old defenseman Keandre Miller, their 2018 first-round draft pick out of Minnesota. Miller is African-American. He held a Zoom chat Friday with 150 others, and the comment section was filled with racial epithets. The latest report on how and where baseball will be played upon its return is without fans and at spring training stadiums in Florida and or Arizona. Baseball players helping the cause include the Mets' Steven Matz, New York native, donating $32,000, that's his jersey number, to New York City first responders and hospitals. Bryce Harper giving $500,000 to the effort in Philadelphia, and his native Las Vegas, Justin Verlander, will donate his weekly paycheck. April 6th, this date in New York sports history, 1983. Opening day at Shea Stadium, and Tom Seaver returned to the Mets 6 years after his messy trade to Cincinnati, and Seaver was terrific. Hurled six scoreless innings against the Phillies lineup that day, had five Hall of Famers in it, if you include Pete Rose, also Mike Schmidt, Joe Morgan, Tony Perez, and Steve Carlton. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Amy?
All right, thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report, and for that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
American Airlines is suspending more flights in and out of New York City's three main airports for about a month, joining other airlines that have cut flights to the area. Between April 9th and May 6th, American will operate a total of only 13 daily flights from JFK and LaGuardia and New Jersey's Newark. Meanwhile, United Airlines has temporarily cut about 90% of its flights to and from LaGuardia and New York for at least 3 weeks. Reuters reports affected employees will continue to receive their pay and benefits. Well, people searching for short-term rental properties on the Jersey Shore have one less option. In an executive order issued by the city of Cape May, all seasonal and short-term rentals were banned as of 8 o'clock last night. Cape May joined Seaside Heights, Asbury Park, Ocean City, and Sea Isle City as places that have banned short-term rentals. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, thank you, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Now we check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Berkshire Hathaway cut its stakes in Delta and Southwest Airlines.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're looking at Tesla's ventilator prototype made from car parts.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on Boris Johnson's admission to hospital and its likely effect on the government.
I'm Jeff Bollinger, and on WLW in Cincinnati, I'm reporting airlines and their customers are at odds over refunds for canceled flights.
I'm Ed Curry on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting General Motors is encouraging suppliers to make face masks.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Some other stories we're following. Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway is joining a record bonanza of corporate debt sales. The company is marketing yen-dominated bonds in multiple parts. The move comes after worldwide debt sales eclipsed a record $200 billion last week. Boeing will keep its Seattle-area airplane manufacturing hub closed indefinitely. The factories had been scheduled to reopen tomorrow night, but Washington state health officials are still trying to maintain, or rather contain, the coronavirus outbreak. Boeing suppliers showing signs of stress, meanwhile. And this just crossing the Bloomberg terminal, Spain reporting now new virus cases at its lowest since March 22nd. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go. Plus, you can listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio and on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Just visit YouTube.com and search Bloomberg Global News. Much more still to come here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's check futures markets now. S&P futures up 3.8%. Dow futures up almost 4%. NASDAQ futures up 4.1%. COMEX gold at $1,666 per ounce. Euro trading at 108 against the dollar. British pound at 123 against the dollar. And yen at 109.21. This is Bloomberg. It's 5:40 on Wall Street, and up next on Bloomberg Daybreak, we'll be checking in with Bloomberg opinion columnist Ferdinando Giuliano, looking at the coronavirus crisis in Spain and how Italy is recovering. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks jumping in Europe and Asia alongside U.S. stock index futures after the reported death tolls in some of the world's coronavirus hotspots show signs of easing over the weekend, the dollar edging higher. Treasuries falling. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 98 points, Dow futures up 831, and NASDAQ futures up 317. The DAX in Germany is up 4.4%. 10-year Treasury down 23 32nd, yield 0.66%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.26%. NYMEX crude oil is down 3%, down 87 cents at $27.48 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 1.25% or $20.30 at $16.66.10 an ounce. The euro, 1.0805 against the dollar, British pound 1.2301, and the yen at 109.25. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Americans are bracing for what the nation's top doctor warns would be the hardest and saddest week of their lives due to an expected wave of coronavirus deaths to come. Britain became the deadliest coronavirus hotspot in Europe after a record 24-hour jump in deaths that surpassed even hard-hit Italy's. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson was hospitalized yesterday, 10 days after testing positive for COVID-19, in what his office described as a precautionary step. There are glimmers of hope, though, for some hard-hit areas as the number of people dying appear to be slowing in New York City, Spain, and Italy. Leaders still caution that those gains could be reversed if strict lockdowns weren't followed. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
Hey, I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. It is 5:49 on Wall Street. And time now to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. We're joined live by Ferdinando Giuliano, Bloomberg Opinion columnist, joining us from Milan this morning. As the contagion in Italy slows and the daily death toll starts to fall, the eyes of the world have moved to Spain. And let's start off, Ferdinando. There are some hopeful signs. Can you tell us about that first off?
Well, there are some signs, hopeful signs across Europe at the moment, but Italy in particular. We're seeing a sharp deceleration in the number of cases, total number of cases. The number of daily deaths is falling too. But I think the most encouraging sign is that finally pressure on the healthcare system is easing as the number of total patients in hospitals and intensive care units has fallen for the first time since the start of the crisis. So that's indeed good news. But obviously, we're still a long way away from, the solution of the problem.
This morning, you take a look at Spain, and you write that the tragedy there was all too predictable. Tell us more.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think in the case of Italy, Italy was the first European country to have to deal with the virus, whereas in the case of Spain, the government could see what was happening in Italy and was absolutely reasonable. You know, it was to be expected that the virus would spread to Spain too. And yet, the government dithered. Just to give an example, on the 8th of March, International Women's Day, they allowed and even encouraged a demonstration with 120,000 people in the streets of Madrid. And it only the lockdown only came in mid-March, which was roughly 3 weeks after the first cases had been detected in Italy. So they've been very slow, and unfortunately the country is paying a steep human price.
We could accurately say that this is a failure of leadership of the political parties in Spain, right?
Well, that's right. I think the prime minister has acted slowly, there have been problems with the coalition partner, Pablo Iglesias, the leader of the left-wing Podemos, who also, for example, he was supposed to self-isolate because a member of his family was tested positive, but he didn't. But at the same time, I must say that all the political spectrum has behaved opportunistically. Regional leaders didn't want Spain is a federalist country, and regional leaders did not want Madrid to take control of the situation, as it eventually did. And even the right-wing Popular Party is behaving opportunistically, changing its mind continuously over the measures which the prime minister is taking, just trying to, capitalize on these difficulties. So I think it's pretty poor showing by the political class as a whole.
Now, to prioritize some scarce resources, can you tell us what kind of decisions are being made by the healthcare professionals on a daily basis?
Well, this is something we saw in Italy, too, and we hear is happening in other countries. I mean, the number of intensive care units is scarce, is limited, and doctors may need to choose between patients over who they will provide the critical care, which is needed to try and treat the most complicated of these cases. And, in some cases in Italy, the doctors' associations have been releasing guidelines just to say, for example, that, doctors should prioritize people who have a greater chance of surviving as opposed to some just, doing it on a first-come, first-serve basis, which would be unfair. These are terrible decisions, but unfortunately they happen in other occasions too. I mean, if you think about earthquakes or train or plane accidents, and they're happening in the case of the COVID-19 epidemic too.
Let me ask you, is there a danger that the lockdowns might be lifted a little too early? There's a good deal of pressure for that, I would imagine.
Well, that's indeed a concern. I have to say, here in Europe, you see governments tend to be erring on the side of caution at the moment, having been very slow in enforcing these lockdowns. So we don't see any signs of this happening yet. But clearly there is a big economic pressure, pressure from industries, but even just workers who can't go to their work. So, this pressure will grow.
Okay. Thank you. Bloomberg opinion columnist Ferdinando Giuliano joining us from Milan. You can read more on these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the terminal by typing OPIN. Go. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The Postal Service has seen a rapid drop in mail volumes because of the coronavirus. The agency says the loss in needed revenue has been significant enough that it could result in a halt to mail delivery. The head of the Department of Health and Human Services says hospitals that accept money from the federal stimulus package cannot bill uninsured patients for coronavirus treatments. The Food and Drug Administration is extending the marketing application process for medical devices. The agency is prioritizing operations to deal with the coronavirus emergency.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal fallout from the pandemic. The country's federal courts putting jury trials on hold. This means defendants, presumed innocent, are sitting in jail with no idea when they will be tried. For more on the issue, June Grasso speaks to Bloomberg Law editor Jordan Rubin.
Very few cases actually go to trial in the federal system, but some do. Will this put more pressure on defendants and prosecutors to plead out a case?
Well, in some ways, that's a concern of defense attorneys who are worried about the notion of innocent clients pleading guilty anyway. That was a concern before. But now, say if a client were in a situation where perhaps a prosecutor offered a term that does not result in them serving prison time, even if they were hypothetically innocent, perhaps that could be tempting for someone to get out of a really dangerous situation that could wind up with them being in jail or in prison, potentially contracting this potentially deadly virus. And so that's a real concern on behalf of attorneys who I've spoken to about this issue.
Jordan, did you speak to any criminal defense attorneys who were already drawing up motions to dismiss a case because of speedy trial problems?
I did. And in discussing the issue with them, it doesn't seem like they're necessarily hopeful that such a motion would prevail, only because it doesn't seem like judges have a choice. Now, there is this Speedy Trial Act, which mandates that cases go to trial in a certain time period. However, there is this catch-all interest of justice provision that judges can cite to in postponing cases. And certainly it seems reasonable to say that this national emergency where you can't even hold trials would qualify as an interest of justice postponement because judges don't really have anything else they can do. At the same time, though, that's really no answer to a defendant who's sitting in jail pre-trial, presumed innocent, and wants to go to trial. So there are these two notions that are rubbing up against each other, and there's really no great answer on how to solve it.
And that's Bloomberg Law editor Jordan Rubin speaking with June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. And futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up about 98 points. Dow futures up 829. And NASDAQ futures up 311. 10-year Treasury down 22 30 seconds. Yield 0.66%. The yield on the 2-year 0.26%. And the 30-year yield at 1.28%. The euro at 1.0811 against the dollar. British pound 1.23. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.